Tonight, I'd like to invite you to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 14. Romans, chapter 13, verse 14. Romans, chapter 13, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, asking for your blessing and, Lord, for your guidance. And of course, Lord, the filling of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and Lord, that you would empower our lives to honor and glorify you. We ask, Lord, that you would build Northwood tonight for your honor and glory, and allow us, Lord, to see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory, but then also for our lives to be an honor and a glory to your name. So bless and guide us, Lord, in this evening, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." And there's a reason why God wants us to put him on, and that is because without him we can do nothing. We understand that. But then have you ever experienced asking the Lord for something and not getting an answer? Or how about this? Asking the Lord for something and nothing happens. You ever done that? Well, I want you to know we are not alone in that, because the Apostle Paul prayed three times for something and nothing happened. But something did happen. The Lord wanted him to know that his strength was sufficient for every need that Paul had. And God had to bring him into that experience for him to understand that he had everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even what he didn't even seem to have, God was able to perform things that would enable him to bear up with all of these trials that enter into the life. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but some years ago, there were these pictures that you could look at. And if you looked at these pictures, there was another picture behind it. You ever seen that before? But here's the whole thing. You can't just look at the one picture. You got to kind of relax a little bit here. And then the other picture kind of seems to materialize. And that's really kind of like the idea of living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful that we're not so earthly minded that we can't see the spiritual realm that is around us and to honor and glorify the Lord. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been up and down mountains in a car, but this one fellow was driving down a very big mountain, and his little girls in the back were enjoying the scenery, and they were oohing and aahing, and they were pointing to their dad, "Look at that, Dad, look at that." But he said, what happened was, as I was going downhill, he realized his brakes were overheating and his car was not stopping like he wanted it to. So he could not take one look at what the little girls were just enjoying, but his eyes were focused and he was concerned. Needless to say, nothing happened. He was able to slow the car down. The brakes just got hot, but he missed out because he was focused, right, and concerned. And sometimes, you know, the devil would have us believe that God has forsaken us, or he's forgotten about us, and that we miss what God wants us to see because we get concerned about other things. But notice what it says here in that verse again, verse 14. He says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And the reason for that, of course, is because it keeps us from seeing the things that God wants us to see and also to enjoy. So in this text, we're going to consider the purpose, again, of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, of course, as we just read there, to not make a provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So tonight we're going to look at the purpose of the powers ordained of God, why we must be subject to the powers that are ordained of the Lord, and then also the fulfillment of being subject to the powers ordained of God. And so back up with me to verse 1, and notice what he says here. He says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So God has allowed, in this particular case, he's really zeroing in on government, right? And what you want to kind of stop and think about here, in this church at Rome, there were a lot of Jewish people that were being saved, as well as Gentiles. And see, the Jewish people were used to being under a theocracy, right?
And so God was their governor. God was their leader. And now we have in the New Testament, we have a transition now where it's in the New Testament church now that God is working through. And Paul is directing every believer, Jew and Gentile alike, to be subject under the powers. And he's trying to identify that God is the one that has ordained them. And we want to be reminded of this also. Nero was the emperor at this particular time, and he was a brutal emperor, wasn't he? He was very unkind to Christians. And here's the whole idea. And he's a tyrant, and yet God is saying, be subject unto them. And the Jewish individual had this conflict because they were used to following the Lord. But here it is. We are to follow the governments that be, whether they be just or unjust. We're to honor them, whether they're good or whether they're bad, unless they ask us, as Nebuchadnezzar did, to worship an idol. Then now it would be our duty to disregard that if it overcomes the commandments of the Lord, right? If it overcomes that, tries to overthrow that, then it would be better for us, as the Bible says, to be faithful to the Lord, to obey God rather than man in that particular instance, in that particular case. So he tells us here that these powers of God are ordained of the Lord there in verse 1. Then notice what he says in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So sometimes maybe if we don't like a particular political leader, we would get upset and say, hey, listen, I don't like this individual. But God is saying, be mindful, I've set that individual up, whether they're good, whether they're not good, and I've created that position, and be it elected or even if it was something that was done underhandedly, God is still in control, and we will always be right to follow the truth, right? Form of government, not talking about those that would have us to go against the Lord. And so he says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So he's telling this to the believers. He's not talking to the lost people. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil, or they should be anyway. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, the revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know, in Jeremiah this morning, I was reading and I was reminded on how God called Nebuchadnezzar, who was going to take over his people, his servant. Now, here's the thing. Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know he was the servant of the Lord. He didn't even know that until, I believe, in chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, he gives a testimony of salvation. Right after he went out and he acted like an animal for 7 years and it was out in the field, God judged him, but he brought him to his senses. But even before that, the Bible says that God was the one that delivered Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And so God was involved in all of that. And of course, they had false prophets that were telling the people, oh, listen, don't serve Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. You're not going to be overthrown. And the Lord said, yes, you are. You know, you go faithfully, trusting me. And he was judging his people at that particular time. But even in that kind of a situation, God says that I am the one that have ordained this government here, if you will. Then notice, if you will, with me, why we must be subject to the powers ordained of God. Verse 5 says this, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, tax to whom tax, whatever it is that they're asking for. You know, we don't necessarily agree that all taxes are good, right? I mean, you know, a lot of these taxes didn't start out with our nation. Property tax, I don't agree with that, but I still pay property tax, right? We all pay property tax. If not, we lose our property, right? So that's the rub, if you will, on that. They did that, and so they made it so that you don't own your property if you stop paying taxes. And that was somebody's idea to raise revenue. But of course, it's gone way overboard. And they did an amazing thing to this one fella out in California. His parents lived in this house. He lived in this house and grew up in it. And they did some modifications. And he was paying $15,000 a year, somewhere out in a nice area in California, $15,000 every year for property tax. Well, this man, you know, it was handed to him from his family, and he saved up money, and he decided to remodel the house, and he added another story to the house. And then the government came back in there and reassessed him, and they started charging him $95,000 a year for property taxes because he had done so much new building on it, they considered it a new house, like as if he just bought it that day, and he didn't. He lived in there over 40 years of his life, and then I think his father had it before that. And so I am in complete disagreement with that. And then you stop and think about this. When somebody buys a brand new car, they pay taxes on that car. But then if they sell that used car, right, you pay taxes again on whatever you paid for it. So it's kind of like double dipping, right? Double taxing. And the government makes money hand over fist. And of course, we can have our objections to that. And I think what the government needs to do is they need to curtail their spending, because if you realize they just kind of spend kind of like crazy. But here's the whole thing. God says, follow the government. So we would be right. I mean, I don't like it, but I pay it anyway, right? And we want to do the right thing. And God says, I will bless you. And really, would you really want to move to any other country? I wouldn't want to live in any other country, and I'm glad to live here. And so we abide by the laws here, and God says that honors him, and you're trusting him in doing so. And again, he says, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then he says this here in verse 8, in the fulfillment of being subject to the powers ordained of God. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Right? We're to love one another, and we just trust the Lord. And you know, what's required on our part is to trust the Lord in doing that. Lord, this is what you've called me to do. And does that mean even if people aren't lovely, we're to love them? Yeah. In fact, the Lord says, you know, if they smack you on one cheek, turn the other one. And why is that? You and I will never be able to do that in the strength of the flesh, will we? We won't be able to do that. But in the Spirit, and God is allowed, he allows these things, even when he doesn't answer our prayers the way we would like him to, we trust the Lord that he is working out all things for our good and for his glory. Then God will show us things when we come to the place where we're not dependent upon what we can do, but on what he can do. And that's what he's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to see how he can work in our lives. And notice verse 9, he says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. As we submit to these authorities here, and as we look to owe no man anything and to walk upright before the Lord, for this thou shalt, verse 9, not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, God says, I didn't say it, I didn't come up with this, I promise you, I would have never come up with this plan. Amen? But God says, you know, if you will do this part right here, you will treat everybody the way God wants us to. And we'll walk upright before the Lord. And so, Lord, show me, teach me and show me how to love as you loved, how to forgive, and how to walk graciously as you've walked, and how to be patient, how to be kind. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have that naturally. Do you? I don't have that naturally. I can be short-tempered. I can get aggravated. I can get upset. But that's because if I'm not seeing past the picture, am I? My car's running down the mountain, and I can't take a look at the scenery because the brakes are going out, and I need the Lord to be in control so that I can enjoy the life that he's created, and we can enjoy what he's created for each and every one of us. Notice verse 11. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So that is really the primary crux of the matter here that God, through the Apostle Paul, is zeroing in here. And that is that if love is on board and in control, we're going to walk according to the Lord's way. And that's what God's called us to do. And so, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you tonight, I can't do that by myself. I can't do that without the Lord. And so that causes us to pursue the Lord, doesn't it? Say, Lord, I need you in my life that I might be able to walk as you would have me to. And then notice verse 11, and that knowing the time that it, no, listen, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And he's talking about the Lord's return here, right? About coming back. Now, you would say, but my goodness, that was written 2,000 years ago, right? But here's the truth of the matter. God's word is eternal. So God is seeing this from eternity's perspective. And listen, what is 6,000 years in light of eternity? It's just a blip, isn't it? It's just a blip. We don't comprehend that because to us, you know, when I was little and when you were little also, if you remember, Christmas break seemed like forever to get here, right? When we were in grade school. We couldn't wait for Christmas vacation. Now what does it seem like? Another Christmas? Another year? And weren't we just teenagers yesterday? I mean, it just seems that way. And that's because life is flying, and God understands that, and you and I can't conceive that. But the truth of the matter is, truly, our salvation is nearer than ever before, isn't it? And the Lord's return is the next event, really, to take place. And so how should we walk? Well, soberly, right? And in tune with the Lord. So he says again, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, because all this is taking place, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I want to remind you, he's talking to us believers, right? Cast off, because we can, listen, if it's in opposition to the word of God, is it light or darkness? It's darkness, isn't it? If we are doing that which is opposite to the word of God, let's not blame God for any of our mistakes, right? Any of our shortcomings or our sins. It's darkness and it's sin. And God says, we don't have to walk that way. He says, I've called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? And so he says, walk in this light and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So again, he says, it's high time. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on, this is how we do it, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what's going to make the difference in our lives. Lord, I need you in me. I need to walk in you. I know that he's in us already because of salvation and we're in him, but we need to walk in that reality. Lord, show me how not to get distracted, because the world is flying down a mountain to destruction, isn't it? It is flying and it's going over here. My goodness, you can turn on the news and hear bad stuff all day long, can't you? But our focal point is on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he wants us to look to, that we would not be distracted by those things. And God, not that God wants us to be ignorant of what's going on in the world, but the most important thing, more than what's happening in the world, listen to this, more important than what's happening into the world is your relationship and my relationship with our God, with our Savior, who holds what in his hand? Everything, does he not? He holds everything in his hand. So he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So he says, if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. So tonight God says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the wonderful grace of God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne thanking you again for your mercy and grace and, Lord, for your love toward each and every one of us and how, Lord, even when we ask you for things and it appears that you don't answer, you are working, Lord, in our lives that we might see you and look to you and trust in you, Lord, that in our weakness, there is where your strength is found. And so, Lord, help us to understand that in a greater way as you instructed the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit to teach us as well, that we would not look to our or lean on our understanding, but on your words of truth. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.